Hi, it's Jeff Farley at the Otisville Mount Hope Presbyterian Church and our weekly podcast, Today's Word from our weekly sermon. The reading is from Matthew 25, verses 34 to 40. Then the king will say to those on his right, "My Father has blessed you. Come and receive the kingdom that was prepared for you before the world was created. When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat, and when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me, and when I was naked, you gave me clothes to wear. When I was sick, you took care of me, and when I was in jail, you visited me." Then the ones who please the Lord will ask, "When did we give you something to eat or drink? When did we welcome you as a stranger or give you clothes to wear or visit you while you were sick or in jail?" The king will answer, "Whenever you did it for any of my people, no matter how unimportant they seemed, you did it for me." So this past Sunday was Epiphany Sunday. That is, it is the Sunday closest to the church's celebration of Epiphany, January 6th, that denotes the arrival of the Magi to visit the newborn Jesus, who they believed was the new king of the Jews. The reality is that the Christmas stories and the nativity scenes we have seen through the years are a bit mythic. Nowhere in Matthew is it suggested that the Magi, which is the root of our English word magician, were kings, that they had camels, or they were, or that there was just three of them. Take a look at Matthew 2, 1 to 14. Three gifts are mentioned, and strange ones at that. No formula, no Pampers, no onesies, but gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What were they thinking? Well, here's the thing. They weren't pediatricians or midwives. They were astrologers. They studied the stars. And seeing a new star or constellation, they went to see the king. It must portend. Astrology for most of us is a strange obsession of some of our strange relatives. But for many throughout history and nations around the world, astrology was and is serious stuff. Knowing when you were born and under what stars and planets mattered. You know, like since Jeff was born on January 29th, he's an Aquarium. And so those of you who think he's full of it, he's full of water, at least according to the stars. And Matthew wanted to make sure we knew about this story. Why? Because the story is a source of some curiosity, because astrology was banned to the Jews, yet Matthew points it out. Because you see, it fulfilled prophecy that the world would take notice of the Messiah when he came, and that they, that is, the world, would come to worship him. Now, the Magi were a group well known to Israelites. They were consulted by King Nebuchadnezzar way back in Babylon during the great captivity of Judah. And even farther back, Balak called for the help of Balaam, a Magi, to curse the Israelites as they advanced into the Holy Land after leaving Egypt. Balaam failed miserably to curse the advancing nation and even ended up prophesying that from Israel would come a great and powerful king. Now, those Magi that had come to Bethlehem had come to worship this new king, the Messiah, God's son, sent to save Israel and the whole world. And Matthew hints that this is the epiphany, that is, the aha moment, the realization that God has begun the greatest adventure ever. He shows it for what it is, not a cute Christmas story, but a pivotal sign that the Messiah is here. Which is why we celebrate the Epiphany separately from Christmas, and why there are 12 days of Christmas in between. The Magi didn't arrive on Christmas. They came separately, as an Epiphany. The arrival of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in Jesus begins God's new work, and the Magi put the worldwide stamp on it, that this is not just the King of the Jews, this is God's own royal son, the one who invites us to follow him, the one who invites us to take up a cross. In today's scripture reading, one that's part of the Empower Student Ministry, reminds us of something else. While some might suggest that the Christian life is all about the social and political arguments we see in the modern news and on social media about being righteous and simply moral terms, Jesus' own understanding of what matters is laid out in really clear terms as a matter of what we do for others. Talking to his disciples, he invites us to make a difference not by building churches or political teams or even by being good, but instead reminds us that at the final judgment, what will matter is what we have done to alleviate the suffering of the world. We will be judged on the basis of what we, individually and communally, have done to feed the hungry, to get water to the thirsty, how we have welcomed strangers and made them part of our families and churches, what we've done to clothe the naked, alleviate the suffering and struggle of those who are ill, and how we have visited and cared for those who are imprisoned in this life, not just behind prison bars, but behind every prison's bars that holds incredible people back from being all that God created them to be. I had a brother-in-law and a mother-in-law, both who had MS. Let me assure you, they were held behind prison bars. But amazingly, God's creative energy allowed them to be amazingly strong followers of Jesus, even in spite of those prison walls. You see, the one who came on Christmas and was celebrated by the non-Christian world on Epiphany wants us to measure our discipleship not by what we know, or even by whom we know, not even by how good we think we are, but by what we have done for others. Period. That's what it's all about, Christmas and Epiphany. Think about that. And amen. Thank you so much for joining us today, thinking just a little bit about Christmas and Epiphany. Join us again. And if you have questions, you can send them along to otisvillepress@hvc.rr.com, or you can check out our website at www.otisvillepress.org. Otisville with two L's. Keep it in mind. Thanks for stopping by.